I'm Sylvia Burgos Toffness, and this is Deep Roots Radio. Every week, my guests help us connect the dots between what we eat and how it's grown, because every single food dollar we spend either protects or degrades the environment, produces foods with high nutrition or empty calories, and either helps pay a fair wage or keeps farm workers among the working poor. We get to make that choice every time we push a cart through the grocery store, visit the farmer's market, and eat at a restaurant. I hope you enjoy this interview.
There are so many references in literature, and certainly in the Bible, to something called gleaning.
Right.
It was an expected part of the growing process, whereby the farmer did that first large harvest, but there was always excellent surplus food
right.
that was left in that farm field. Mm-hmm. It wasn't waste. It wasn't damaged. It wasn't rotting. It was just part of that process. And that was good, excellent food that was gleaned. Now, Dave Korver, do you know that that goes on today?
I did not know that goes on today, no.
No, that whole process of gleaning. And that, well, you have been a farmer forever, Dave Korver. So you happen to know that in the harvesting process, whether we're looking at beans or we're looking at grains, there is surplus.
Yeah.
That's left in the field. Mm-hmm. And that, in fact, is the focus of a nonprofit organization that's right close to us called Second Harvest Heartland. They're about making this really good surplus food mm-hmm. available to people who really need it. And we have with us in studio today one of the people from Second Harvest Heartland. We've got Heidi Coe, who I've met over the course of the last, I guess, 2 years, because you're also a farmer in our area. Welcome, Heidi. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks, Sylvia.
Now, you're farming in Glenwood City?
We are, yep.
And what kind of farm is this?
We have a produce farm. Yeah. We bought it about 3 years ago.
All right. And is this, are you doing farmers markets or is it CSA?
We are actually growing for Hungry Turtle Farmers Cooperative here in Amory, and we are growing for a restaurant that will be opening up in the Twin Cities this summer.
All right. Now, the other hat that you wear is a much more corporate-like hat. I'm not going to say it's a corporate hat, but a corporate-like hat. Right. Can you describe your job with Second Harvest Heartland?
You bet. I started about 4 years ago, and I work with farmers who have that excess or surplus produce that they're not going to harvest, or they've harvested and can't sell.
So let's go back, I mean, pull back just a little bit. Mm-hmm. What is Second Harvest Heartland? Can you kind of describe what kind of organization it is? What does it actually do?
Yeah, Second Harvest Heartland is a food bank. Now, this is different than a food shelf. A food shelf is where clients come to get product. A food bank is basically a distributor to the food shelves. So we move a lot of product. We have about over 20 refrigerated semis that we pick up and distribute.
Wow.
We've got about 1,000 different agencies or food shelves we distribute to. And last year alone, we distributed about 77 million meals across 59 counties.
Now, these are 59 counties in where? What states?
There's 18 in Wisconsin, and the rest are in Minnesota.
Wow. Mm. All right. So the role of Second Harvest Heartland is to find all that food and actually distribute it to those food shelves.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So that's what you guys have become expert in.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. So how many food shelves did you say you work with?
We've got about 1,000 what we call agencies. So that's either a food shelf or another emergency food program for like a senior feeding program, that sort of thing.
Second Harvest Heartland, you're focused in Minnesota mostly, and then western Wisconsin
right.
mm-hmm. Counties. Is there, or are you part of a bigger network?
We are. There's a network called Feeding America, about 200 Feeding America food banks across the United States. We've got 5 Feeding America food banks in Minnesota, and there are 3 in Wisconsin.
You know, I was taking a look at your website. Very informative, really easy to go through. And one of the things I noticed is that this larger umbrella kind of effort called Feeding America does a study every 4 years about who the clients are. So one of the things that this survey discovered and kind of documented is that over a third of the recipients of these food shelves are children.
That's right.
And another 10% are over the age of 60.
Right.
I mean, that hits home.
Yeah.
You know, people on fixed incomes, people who may not have pensions, which is very, very often the case. And I think another thing that I think, Dave Corbett, one of the things that you mentioned is that lots of the people who are hungry in America are the working poor.
Yeah, that's a sad fact of life right now. A lot of people working minimum wage jobs, some of them a couple minimum wage jobs, mm-hmm. and they still don't have enough income to get from one month to the next.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And in taking a look at the results from this Feeding America survey, lots of them have education after high school,
mm-hmm.
over a third.
Yep.
Many of them have veterans within that household. And these were a couple of pretty sad facts. One is that over a third have diabetes.
That's right. Yeah.
And 44% with high blood pressure. You know, so these are people just like us, just like the rest of us.
It's true. Hunger is hidden among us. We don't realize it's our neighbors. It is the family that's already working one or two jobs, the working poor, or it is a senior who's on a fixed income while the cost of living is rising. Or a sad fact that one in five of those hungry in the U.S., one in five children are what we call food insecure or don't know where their next meal's coming from. It's a rural issue as well as an inner city issue.
Right. You know, one of the things that strikes me, and I don't know if this plays into your thinking at all, Heidi, or your experience, Dave Corbett, but when you live in the country, as we do, and you have come from a farming family, there's some opportunity for you to continue feeding yourself on an ongoing basis. But when you don't have access to that capability, no access to land, and no experience.
That's right.
To yeah. draw from. It doesn't matter where you live.
It's true.
Because you can be in the middle of a countryside like ours, and we're in rural area of Wisconsin. There's lots of people who don't know how to put a seed in the ground.
Right.
Yeah, or like you said, don't have the land or the education.
Right, the experience to do something like mm-hmm. this. So these food shelves are really, really important. And I'm really interested to know, Heidi, now you specialize in a certain aspect of the food gathering that Second Harvest Heartland does. What is that? Can you describe what you do?
Yeah, I love my job. I work with farmers who have excess produce that they're either not going to harvest or they've harvested and can't sell. And I work with just some fantastic people with wonderful hearts. And the first thing I hear with every grower that I work with is, it feels so good to know someone is eating this after all the work I've done to put this in the ground and raise this crop. It feels really good to know that someone's getting fed.
Yeah. So what kind of work how do you make these contacts? What kind of ongoing relationship do you build?
Yeah. So I initially just started by reaching out to growers within what we call our service area or the counties that we work in. And it just organically grew from there. You know, farmers are know other farmers who know other farmers. And so when they have excess, they give me a call, we make the arrangements, and we create the logistics so we can bring that into our food bank and then distribute it out to the food shelves. And again, like I said, the growers are so happy to know that this crop is going somewhere. And you mentioned that there just naturally is surplus when you're farming for a few different reasons. Usually farmers will grow excess of a crop because if there's any failure in that crop, they want to make sure they have enough to meet their contracts. And then what do they do with that excess? Well, if they don't have anywhere to take it, they'll just till it in.
Mm.
So, but it's a perfectly good product. Or if it's cosmetically not fit for market, maybe the cucumber's a little bit too long, the zucchini's a little too curved, what if the pepper is both red and green? Our market doesn't accept that type of product. So what do? Well, they used to till it in, but now we can bring that in through this emergency food system and get it to those people who really need it. And not only is this more product, but it's really good product. You mentioned the percentage of people who have diabetes and high blood pressure. An important thing is to not only provide food for these people, but nutritious food.
Mm-hmm.
And this is really nutritious
right.
product. Another reason we get it is if it's harvested, but then the market is full and they can't move that product, we bring in semis. Last year alone, we brought in over 9 million pounds of produce that would have been either just disced in or discarded. We had about 24 different crop types, anything from green beans to peppers to corn to watermelon to zucchini to cucumber. So just fabulous product.
You know, I would think that one of the challenges would be working quickly enough. How do you deal with that?
It is a challenge. And that's another thing. The whole emergency food network, the whole emergency food system is transitioning to healthier and fresher products. So last year, Second Harvest Heartland, about over 50% of what we moved was fresh. So that's produce, dairy, deli, meat, those items where in the past, you know, you picture the food shelf of the past was canned goods, right?
Yes,
boxed
yeah.
and canned goods. We're switching to this fresh product, and produce especially is challenging. We do have to move quickly. When the farmer has that excess, we have to get one of our refrigerated semis there within a day or two.
Oh, yeah.
And then we bring it into our warehouse, but we do not warehouse product. We distribute. So we bring it in. We have a large cooler, but we turn it around as fast as we can. We get it in. We move it out. We have a lot of our employees work with our agencies. So mm-hmm. they're called the agency relations team. When we know we have a certain product coming in, they connect with the agencies or the food shelves. Let them know, hey, we have a whole semi of watermelon. Who wants some? And then they place orders. So it's a challenge to move this product and keep it fresh, but we move it quickly and we have a good system in place.
Right. You know, I was really not real tuned in to that whole notion of a farmer planting in order to guard against or buffer themselves against any kind of a failure so that there was extra in the mm-hmm. field. And so when I started chatting with some of the vegetable farmers that I've really come to know and respect over the last several years and to learn, oh yeah, you know, I got 10,000 pounds of squash sitting in the field and it's not going to go anywhere. And I thought, what? How is that even possible? But yeah, I mean, thank you for describing it to me. I had no idea that kind of surplus.
Right. It's a buffer. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Was kind of built into the system. Mm-hmm. And man, you know, it used to be that cultures all around the world had customs of gleaning. People knew that at this time of year, this is when the owners of a field would allow you to come in and do your gleaning. But we've so moved away from that kind of a model that most of us are just totally unaware.
Yeah, we have moved away from that gleaning model. And so basically that's what Second Harvest Heartland and other food banks are doing. We're picking up that gleaning model. And we do not go in and glean ourselves. Of course, we let the farmer be the farmer here because it's such a large quantity. Although we have worked in the past, and if it is a smaller farm or a smaller quantity, if they do have volunteers that they'd like to organize or they need help organizing volunteers, there are gleaning programs
okay.
that will come in and help with that
now
harvesting.
You were kind of part of that gleaning program in the cities, weren't you?
I was. Before I started at Second Harvest Heartland, I worked with another nonprofit in the Twin Cities, and the program was called Fruits of the City. And we would harvest either homeowners or small orchards who had fruit trees that they weren't going to harvest. We would organize volunteers to come in and harvest that and then deliver directly to food shelves.
Right. You know, that's one of the things I've heard stories like that, but mostly about California, mm-hmm. you know, people sort of gathering together so that they could actually pick the fruit off of trees that were just like on the boulevards, falling on the sidewalks and just going to waste every single year.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. You know, people talk about hunger in America, and I just think about the numbers of responses that are actually out here. Mm-hmm. Because according to other kinds of figures, we actually, as a nation and as a world, actually grow enough food for the people that live on this planet.
We do. It's just a matter of access and distribution.
Right.
And that's when I appreciate being part of an organization who's trying to, or is connecting that gap, or connecting those who have excess with those who don't have enough.
Now, are you still looking for farmers? Is this something that you hope to expand?
We are always looking for more food. Yeah, as much as we bring in, I told you the number, we distributed over 77 million meals last year, but the need is still growing. So yes, we're looking for more farmers. So if you have a farm and you have excess, we'd love it if you want to give us a call and we can organize or make arrangements to get some of that excess product in.
Heidi, if somebody wanted to get a hold of you, I mean, how would they find out more about Second Harvest Heartland and how to contact you?
Second Harvest Heartland's website is twoharvest.org, and that's the numeral two, twoharvest.org. Or you can call 651-484-5117. And if you are hungry, if you are in need, please call. And there is no shame. We've all been in a situation where we need help. Mm-hmm. And we understand that things just happen in life that put us in situations. So I guess one message I'd like to make sure gets out there is that there is infrastructure out there to help you. So if you are somebody in need, please call or check out the website. And if you happen to have excess, if you would like to partner with us to get that excess to those in need, check out our website or give us a call. If you have excess produce, if you have other excess product, if you'd like to volunteer, we have a fantastic volunteer program. And last year, it was over 100,000 volunteer hours.
Wow. So again, could you describe what you mean by good surplus food? Because I want to make sure people understand what it is that you're looking for.
You bet. When I work with farmers, I say we can't take anything that's on the verge of going bad. You know, anything rotting or starting to mildew, anything like that. We can take anything that's cosmetically not perfect. Mm-hmm. So like I said, the cucumber that's too long, anything excess that there's just not a market for. So we need on produce, we like to have a 5-day shelf life so that we can bring it in, turn mm-hmm. it around and get it out to the client, and that they still have a few days that it's good in their home before they eat it.
So they need to contact you as soon as they're kind of aware that they've got this excess in the field, if they can do that.
Yeah, or ideally if they know they're going to have it, so that we can line things
sure.
up even before we always ask, please call before you harvest, because we want to get the ball rolling on our end. So if you know you have some excess coming up, yeah, give us a call and we'll work with you to bring that into the food system.
You know, I think one of the things too that I was pretty naive about was the cost of having excess in the field if you're a farmer, because that means another pass with your tiller. And while for many of us that might sound like nothing, that's fuel.
It is, yes.
And it's time. And I don't know, Dave Corbett, you got a lot of fuel and time kind of hanging on you?
never. Speaking of cost, how does Second Harvest cover their costs? There's got to be a lot of money involved, capital tied up in moving these products around.
Yeah, there is. You know, the mission of Second Harvest Heartland is to end hunger through community partnerships.
Mm-hmm.
Community partnerships is huge. And whether that means you're volunteering or donating product or giving financially, most of our money comes from individual donors.
Wow.
We get donations also from corporations. Mm-hmm. And foundations, but most of our money is from individual donors. We aren't a government-funded program.
Dave, when you were talking about that, when you mentioned how many refrigerated semis you've got on the road, I think that is not an inexpensive proposition. So that's a wonderful thing to know that individuals have stepped up. I mean, this is a community supporting itself.
It is, and we're so grateful for those donors. And if you'd like to be one, you know, we could always use the extra dollars to move more food to those in need. And we are I just want to say thank you to those who have donated, because it's very much appreciated.
Why did you get involved in this kind of work?
I feel that no one should be hungry. There, as we said before, there's enough food in this country to feed everybody. It's just a matter of access and distribution. And when I learned the mission of Second Harvest Heartland to end hunger through community partnerships, it resonated with me. And I feel grateful to be part of a system that is helping to create some balance and connect those with excess to those in need, so that no one goes hungry.
Right. Now, did you grow up on a farm?
You know, I just grew up on a hobby farm out in the country.
Oh, did you?
We had 10 acres, but we, you know, we had hens, we had eggs, we had a large garden. So, I mean, we fed ourselves off the produce and the...
Right.
And the, yeah. So, I loved it. Always wanted to get back to that. So, now here we are out in beautiful Wisconsin with our farm.
I know that many of the people who might be listening right now don't live within the Twin Cities, the Minneapolis, St. Paul, Minnesota metro area, but there are food banks elsewhere, aren't there?
Yes, there are all across the United States. And if you don't live in the service area of Second Harvest Heartland, but you would still like to connect to a food bank, either to volunteer or donate, or if you are in need, for Wisconsin, you can go to feedingwi.org. So for Feeding Wisconsin is feedingwi.org. And there you can find the food bank and the food shelves in your area. If you're outside of this area, check out feedingamerica.org. And that way you can find the nearest food bank and food shelf.
So there is a growing kind of network that of people like all of us here who are saying, you know, I've heard the statistics. Everything is just like darn gloomy, but there are solutions out there.
There's definitely solutions.
And I can be a part of that.
Yes. On any level.
On any level, you know, you can donate an hour of time a week. You can donate financially. You may be a grower. You may be someone who actually needs the food bank right now. And that's good, because otherwise this food would have nowhere to go. So, hey, you need to have all of these parts of the chain kind of pulled together in order to make this work. Heidi, can you give us your website and those phone numbers again for Second Harvest Heartland?
You bet. Second Harvest Heartland's website is twoharvest.org. That's the numeral two. Twoharvest.org. Our phone number is 651-484-5117.
Wonderful. So, let's just go kind of to something very local. So now, Heidi, you are a farmer yourself.
I am.
So you understand kind of the whole chain here. What are you doing on the farm right now? Getting ready for the new planting season?
Yes, it's very exciting and a tad bit overwhelming. So, yep, as soon as I leave here, I'll get back into my farm clothes, and we're disking and dragging the field. We're getting our potatoes in. We're starting to put corn in. We grow a lot in our greenhouse. We've got our hoop house. I could go on and on.
Well, thank you so much for being in studio
today.
Thanks
for inviting me here. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Visit my website, bronxtobarn.com, to download this and past interviews, to learn about my farm, and to reserve 100% grass-fed beef. We deliver to Minneapolis and St. Paul, Minnesota. Thanks.